for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the final service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Sunday morning, November 26, 1995. Chuck Worth of Bella Vista, Arkansas, is the teacher of the morning.
Father, I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. Father, I permit that mind to be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. For Father, I've been in the kitchen and I've been cooking, and you've been the fire. And Father, right now I just ask the Spirit of the Son within me to spread the table, that all may eat in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. What's happened this morning is Judah has plowed. Judah has plowed. It's up to you to break up the clods to where you can receive the Word of God planted in good ground. When you come to the table, the table's going to be prepared, but it's kind of like the cup. You must eat. How are your wineskins this morning? Now listen, I'm serious. Our brother just set me up, you know, and he didn't know what he was doing. But if you're inside out, I'm going to scrape the rough edges this morning. Now, my fault. You're supposed to scrape them yourself. If you're pliable, I want to say if you're loose, then you've got good soil. See, good soil is soil you can just take in your hands and in your fingers, and you know, just kind of, and you can just poke your finger in there and put the seed in there. And it's, the Bible says to dig deep, to plant the seed. Now, I'm going to give a lot of threefold things. I apologize to those of you. In my youth, I told you I wanted to teach Genesis 24, about bringing the bride to the son. Well, I should have talked to the master before I said that, because he told me, before you bring the bride, prepare her. And we're not prepared enough yet. So check the Lake Hamilton paper. I believe by the Spirit I'll be back. And come and we'll get the bride to the son, okay? Sometime. To Brother Phil, I just say the Lord bless you. They had something they really needed to do. In fact, his wife isn't here because she's got an obligation. But how many of you know when you're hungry enough, he found a place to stay, and he stayed over because of a hungry heart. And to Sharon, I'd say, and you know what I'm talking about, call forth those things that be not as though they are, and see him as completed, continually. Okay? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, And it's not going to be like it was 2 days ago, okay? I have these apostles and prophets that come through where I teach, and they unload. I mean, they just, like they back up a wagon, and they dump all this revelation knowledge. And guess what they do? They leave. And then all the people are saying, what about this? What about? And so I'm left to explain everything they've dumped in the house, you know? Well, I kind of felt like I did that to Brother Glenn in this church, whatever day I taught, Thursday, was it Thursday or Friday or Friday? But today I'm going to teach. I'm going to try to teach, okay? Sometimes it's hard to teach because you get going and you want to preach, okay? But turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and that's just going to be a starting text. I really want to talk about building the house of the Lord. How many of you know you're the house of the Lord? And the problem in the church is they've not been taught out of what substance to build the house. And there's much wood, hay, and stubble being built to build the house. when the Bible says it must be built out of gold, silver, and precious stone. Okay? And so I hope I get that far. I was sure glad Brother Glenn told me I could go till 1 o'clock. Isaiah chapter 40, it says, comfort ye. Now, this is speaking, remember, threefold things. Always remember threefold things. And he's talking to three groups of people. And there's three types of salvations. There's three resurrections. The church only knows about one. Everything in God comes in threes, okay? And we're going to look at them, as many as we can this morning. But I'm going to do it slow, if I can, okay? Before I get started, I'm going to have a run on their table, okay? I believe that you cannot understand the Old Testament unless you understand types and shadows. Now, I believe in the one book. And there's a lot of people that read a lot of books. But this is the book you need to read right here, okay? This is a guide. This is Kevin J. Connors interpreting the symbols and types. And it just will save you a lot of work if you're a studier. And how many of you know that every one of you is to be a studier? The Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. The church doesn't rightly divide the word of truth because they don't study to show themselves approved. Don't you be one of them. The Bible says, they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you don't study, you don't diligently seek him. They've got three copies of this back there. They'll have more next time. Okay, Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Now, what this comfort means is obtain relief. How many of you would like some relief? And that's what they're crying out here, okay? And they're speaking to the outer court. His people are in the holy place. In this particular scripture, Jerusalem is the most holy place. Ordinarily, all Israel is the outer court. Jerusalem is the holy place or the church. And Zion is the most holy place or the top of the mountain. Okay? But you have to take it in context, and Jerusalem here is the most holy place. As a matter of fact, Zion is masculine. The word is masculine. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. It's feminine. And eventually Zion and Jerusalem are going to be married. Well, we just jump right out into the water, don't we? I wasn't going to do that. Zion is a people that marries Christ. I'm going to show it to you in Isaiah 62. Zion is a people that marries Christ, and then Zion marries Jerusalem, to where God can be all in all. And if you're going to be Zion, you're going to have to marry your mother, and your mother is who you've come out of. I've got to marry Holiness Church. I've got to marry the Baptist Church. I've got to marry the Assembly of God Church, because they're all my mother. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. You understand that? That's who brought you to where you are. You have come through your mother. I don't know whether you're getting that or not. They say, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. These are soldiers, folks. Warfare. Anytime it talks about the host of the Lord in the Bible, it's talking about an army. Okay? How many of you know you're to be the army of the Lord? The problem with the army of the Lord right now is they're not prepared to go to battle because the leadership hasn't prepared them. Okay? That's why I couldn't bring the bride to Christ. I've got to prepare the army. That's really what he's saying. Okay. Her iniquity, tell her that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that sounds bad, but that's good. It's just you're going to get a double portion of the Lord's blessing, even though you've sinned a lot, if you're comforted. And then it goes on to say, and this, we're going to go into Matthew from here eventually. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert. I mean, if you know it's a desert. It's not a desert in here, folks. The river. Yeah, I want to talk about the river. In the Garden of Eden, there's a river, one river. When it comes out of the garden, it goes into four rivers. And I'm not going to give you the names or go into all of that, but they all mean something. But four is the number of the universe. It's the east, west, north, south. It's all one river. But how many of you know it's going to branch into all the world? And you're the river. You're also the branch. He's the vine. Okay. Now it says, make straight in the desert a highway. A highway. What do you suppose the highway is? Lord help me. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the highway. But he also said, I'm the truth and I'm the life. In the highway, there has to be truth or it's not a highway. And there has to be life. Any way that speaks death is not the highway. It's the low way. Okay? And I'm not going to spend much time here because we could be here forever. Revelation 21, verse 21. And it says, in the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And if you understand how a pearl is brought into being, it's by irritation, and it's by a foreign substance, and there's a whole lot in there. And every several gate was one pearl. Now listen to this. Here's what I want. And it doesn't say streets. The word is not plural. There's only one street in the city. Now this city is four square, and in terminology we can understand, it's 1,500 miles with one street. Well, you're going to have trouble getting around in that city if your city is a natural city. In verse 2, let me read verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now, this river is clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, look at this. And in the midst, and again, it's a street. Of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits, and 12 is just the number of government, and government's going to supply a fruit, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. So in this city, not everybody is perfect yet, because there still needs to be healing. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you that street when we get into building the city. That street is made of gold, and the gold is clear as crystal. You ever see any gold like that? I'm going back to Isaiah 40. Make straight in the desert, and I'm in verse 3, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every low place in your life is going to be elevated. And it really is talking about back here in Isaiah, and I believe it's chapter 22, it talks about the valley of vision. And God's visions, those with a vision of God in their life. Without a vision, my people perish. And the visions are going to be brought to life. Those that have the right vision are going to be elevated. But also, every mountain and hill is going to be made low. Those things of the flesh that are important in your life are going to be brought down and in my life, right? And the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And this voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flowers of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, and the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Now listen to this, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And then he's speaking to you here, and he says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. And then he says, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And I said, Judah plows, praise and worship plows the hard heart. Judah in the Bible means praise. And Judah was birthed forth, but on the breastplate he's first. On the breastplate of the high priest. And Judah will lead into battle. He's the first one that goes out from the city, and he goes ahead of the army. He is a part of the army, but he's first. And praise and worship will break every bondage. Now, I'll tell you something else about Judah. Judah is the only one in the wine press. In a vineyard, there are four things. This free, huh? Don't know where this comes from. There's a vine in the branches. There's the tower. There's the hedge. And there's the wine press. Now, in the wine press, there's two vats. And Judah's up in the upper vat, and he's stomping out the grapes, and he's getting the wine to flow from the first vat down into the other vat. If you're Judah, and my brother is Judah, and he causes the wine to flow to others. But Judah was the only one in the wine press, and Jeremiah talks about it, and where it's prophesied of Judah, it says his eyes are red with blood. And his teeth are white. Now we're gonna go to the scripture. Let's go there right now. How many of you know in the Bible there is milk, there's bread, and there's meat? And you have to have teeth to eat meat. Now listen, milk's good. And when you get milk is for children. Let's just look at it. You need to see this. In teaching there are two gates. There's an ear gate and there's an eye gate. And the problem has been in the church that they've listened with the ear gate and heard what man had to say. But they haven't seen with the eye to where they can discern whether the man is right or the man is wrong. And therefore, you don't know, if you don't look in your Bible, you don't know unless you're studied in the Word, and then you know whether I'm speaking truth or whether I'm speaking a lie. And in this city of God, everyone that doeth and maketh a lie is outside the city. They're not in the city. So you've got to discern what's truth and what's a lie. And if you don't look in your Bible, I've got a saying that I tell my people, if you can't show me in your Bible, is that right? What you believe, you don't know what you believe. You believe what someone has told you, and if they've told you the truth, you're blessed. If they've told you a lie, you're not. You're cursed. And a curse will bring death, and the truth will bring life. No, I was going to show you about meat. Meat, meat, teeth, meat. Teeth pictures the body of Christ. You ever have a toothache? When one hurts, we all hurt. Teeth in the Bible, just a picture of the body of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, and I taught on this the other day, to make your calling and election sure. You have to make your calling and your election sure. You do that. Now it says in Thessalonians that we're called to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes the whole gospel to get the glory. So you have to determine your calling. If you do these things, ye shall never fall, and so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Here's what's called an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. How many know you can enter the kingdom of God without entering abundantly? Right? You know that? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And they are progressive. And if you don't have righteousness, you'll never have peace. And if you don't have righteousness and peace, you won't have joy. That's why a lot of people didn't let Judah plow. Okay. Gotta have them all. Now, folks, I'm not speaking condemnation. I'm just speaking truth. If there's something moving within you, it's probably a convicting spirit. It's not condemnation because you're okay where you are. You just don't stay where you are. How many of you know you can't stay where you are? You're either coming up the mountain or you're falling back down the mountain. Verse 11, so the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now here's what I'm after. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. How many of you know that there is more truth in the land today than there was in yesteryear? As the day of the Lord approaches, His truth is going to cover the land. Because his glory can't fill the earth until his truth fills the earth. His glory and his truth are synonymous. You can't have... In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there are those that think you can have everything of the Lord without having his Word, and you can't. You can't. I hope I'm encouraging you and not discouraging you. I'll just give a little personal testimony. I didn't like the things of the Lord most of my life. And I gave you the male and female scenario, and my wife was the spiritual man of the house, just a spiritual woman. And that's the way it is in most homes. And it shouldn't be. I repented, okay? And when I was 50 years old, the Lord woke me up and he told me I was going to die. And I felt like I had. And so I started getting serious with the Lord, but, you know, I started reading the Bible, but he was not revealed to me. And I would say that the revelation of God has only come to me, the revelation of Jesus Christ has only come to me within the last three. Now, Isaiah says, I will do a quick work of understanding. And if you all want it, I'll prophesy that to you today. He'll do a quick work of understanding within you. He has done a quick work. If you only knew me, you'd say he's done a quick work of understanding in me. Only he could do it. I had no desire ever. I would never get up. Never. I had no desire to teach ever. How many know I love to teach? I would rather teach than do anything. This has always been here when I've taught. And I am fearful that someday he might not, and then you'll see it, you'll meet. Okay, Hebrews. Present truth. Be established in the present truth. I'm going to go way up to Hebrews 5. Milk, bread, and meat. Okay? Verse 8 of chapter 5. Those who are a son yet learned he obedience. Oh, you're going to love this. By the things which he... Boy, don't we hate to suffer? You know, if you don't suffer with him, you'll not be glorified with him. Now, I believe that suffering is for the word's sake, for the sake of the gospel. They'll call you a fool for what you believe. They'll call you a fool when you tell them the birthright is yours. But they'll tell you, you can have the blessings. Some of you know you can't have the blessings without the birthright. You think you have some, but you don't. Okay, now hold your finger right there. We'll just do this. I want to, because we're coming to a salvation. How many of you know there's three types of salvation? Turn with me to Jude. We'll just look at them real quick so you can see it. So, see, once you get to know me and you can discern that I would never lie to you and tell you the truth, then we might not look so much because you can trust me. But until that happens, and we still at home, and they love me and trust me, we still look a lot at the scripture. Jude, verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the, now here it is, and some might say mutual, the common salvation. How many of you know there's a common salvation? In Ezekiel, God was upset and spoke through Ezekiel, a prophet, about the priest that would make no separation between the holy and the profane. No separation between the outer court, the common court, and the holy place. There is a separation in the three... God lives in a three-room house, and there's a separation in every room. And you got to come through the gate to get into the house, and you got to go through the door to get into the holy place, and you got to go through the veil to get into the most holy place. And there's an entrance into each room. Now, I'll be truthful with you and tell you that God really only lives in the most holy place. Because our God is a consuming fire, and it's a love room, it's a birthing room, it's a bedroom, there's a fireplace in it. And if you don't like the fire, you can't go in. Now that's deep, if you can get it. Now, let's go back. That's a common salvation, outer court. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Here's the salvation in the holy place. Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. There's a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, which was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, I want to go back to where we were in Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll go on to verse 9. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Then verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of his... Now, this is the best kind of salvation, folks. It's an eternal salvation. It's a salvation... Now, listen, there's no distinction between salvation, because salvation is progressive. In 1 Corinthians, or maybe it's 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was delivered, I'm being delivered, and I'm yet to be delivered. And that really is the three salvations, right? So verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. You know what causes dullness of hearing? And I'm not going to it, but you can go into the Gospels. And it comes from hardness of heart. If your heart is hard, you can't hear. Isaac had a hard heart. Couldn't hear. Because he couldn't hear, he turned blind. And because he turned blind, he couldn't discern the good son. I mean, the one son from the other son. How many of you know that Isaac wanted Esau to come forth? How many of you know Isaac loved Esau? Type of the flesh. Rebecca heard. Rebecca was not blind. And she helped Jacob get the blessing. Well, I'm just saying that if you have a hard heart, you can't hear. Isaac couldn't hear. He couldn't hear the Lord. Well, what God said is that the older shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. The elder is the flesh. The younger is the spirit. First the natural, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, is that right? First the natural, then the spiritual. I mean, you know, Joseph was the younger brother. What did he tell the brothers? Oh, he also told mom and dad that. But see, he heard from God. That was, you know, people think, well, boy, he was proud. No, he heard from God. Yeah, you ever dream? I dream all the time. Okay, you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing comes from a hard heart. I could tell you the parable of the sower, but I wouldn't dare. But in Matthew, it says their hearts had waxed gross. It just means a hard heart. A heart. Don't have a hard heart. Don't have a hard heart. Let the seed... See, the purpose of the rain, purpose of the water, purpose of the river is to soften the ground. So when I come and plant the seed just is planted. Takes no work. That's what my brother does. I appreciate my brother. Makes it a lot easier for me. When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Here it is. Milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. Unless babies are okay. And babies are not determined by age. Not determined by age. They're determined by the Christ within you. If the Christ within you is a seed, and only a seed, you're a babe. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. So we have to grow up through adolescence and then become mature. We become young men. And what the body of Christ is crying for is fathers. The body of Christ needs fathers. Now listen, mothers are good. The mothers are always caressing and being tender. And the father says, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. And you need a father to tell you to quit sinning. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason, now listen to this, by reason of use, use it or lose it. By use, have their senses. That's the soul. You've got to have the soul able to discern good and evil. And the church doesn't even know that they've got a soul. They're just a one-part being. And this is the only doctrine I really believe in chapter 6, verse 1. Well, I believe in one other one in Timothy, but it's the same. It's the doctrine of God. This is the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Maybe you know the doctrine of Christ is you becoming perfect in Him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Paul talked to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You know, I've been speaking to you spiritual. That's all I'm concerned about your understanding, is spiritual understanding. I'll let the theologians and the learned men tell you about the natural things, because I don't know. I know they'll happen. But if I know spiritually what's happening, I can handle the natural. Okay? Now, I'm not condemning knowing natural things. It's good. But as unto carnal, you know what carnal is? Ever have chili con carne? It just means there's meat in it, right? Chili with meat. Carnal just means meat. Meat is flesh. There's just flesh in it. You're carnal. You're fleshly. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes. And if you're a man of the flesh in spirit, in God's spiritual eyes, you're a baby. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I hope you all can bear this, okay? I pray that you are. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying, strife, division. Oh, boy, the body of Christ. Let me tell you how Christ sees the body of Christ. Sarah is a type of the church. You know, Sarah, forgive me, but was an old woman when she had the promised seed. Now, I've read descriptions of Sarah at 90 years old. But you know, you go two chapters later, and she's so beautiful that the king wanted her in his harem. And that's the restoration of Sarah. And that's what's going to happen to his body. That's what's going to happen to you and I. And we need to quit looking at the church as a 90-year-old woman and start looking at her as the restored Sarah of the day. And this is an elderly lady that looks beautiful. And she is beautiful. This is written in, and it's just verifying what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40. This is concerning John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I hear a lot of talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I can't find any difference. One's what it is, it's heavenly, and the other is whose it is, it's his. Verse 3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, it just describes this way, this highway, and I should have done that earlier and neglected to. Isaiah 35. Verse 8, let's go to verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8. And a highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. How many of you know that the street in the city is a street of holiness? The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. The fools shall not err therein, no lion shall be there. Nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. Be no beast nature on the highway. Oh, goodness. Turn with me to Revelation. I want to just show you three people. And this is, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to whet your appetite. I hope. Turn with me to Revelation 13. I'm going to show you three types of people. And maybe it'll help you understand Revelation. 13 verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and a beast came out of the sea. Now, you need to understand that Abraham has three types of seeds. His seed is as the dust of the earth, as the sand of the sea, and as the stars of heaven. And if you're in the outer court, you're as of the dust of the earth. And the serpent's meat is dust, and there's a lot of problems in the outer court. If you're in the holy place, which is the church, and it's the masses of people the sea speaks of, you're as the sand of the sea. But if the veil of your flesh, the veil over the eyes of your understanding has been removed, you become as the stars of heaven. Okay? Now right here in verse 1, this beast comes out of the sea. The second beast comes in verse 11. Where did it come out of? The earth. Now let me show you the third, and it's not a beast. Verse 1 of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's the stars of heaven, okay? You can take that and do what you want to with it. I'm going back to Isaiah 35. There'll be no beast thereon, it shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk thereon. Verse 10 of Isaiah 35. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. Oh, Brother Robert. And everlasting joy upon their heads. See, you know what that is? Because they found the kingdom of God. They haven't just found righteousness, and they haven't just found peace, but they found all three. They found all of them. How many of you know, into this city in Revelation 21, there's 12 gates you have to go to get into the city. You got to go through all 12 gates. And they're progressive. You can't go through the last gate until you go through the first gate. In Ezekiel, there were two gates. And you entered in from the south. And the south is the blessings and the comfort and all the good things. And you couldn't leave by the south. You had to go out the north gate. And the north is testing. How many of you know, tribulation is good. Say that, will you? Tribulation is good. Now, you got to get that in your heart. You're just saying it with your head. Without tribulation, there will be no refining. And you've got to have the refiner's fire to become like the refiner. Verse 10. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and fleeing shall flee away. And I showed you Thursday or Friday that this sorrow, we're in sorrow because we're in pain and travail to be delivered of a child. But when the man-child is delivered, and I don't care who delivers it, I don't care, I hope it's me, but that's selfish, see? And if I can't do it, I hope it's you. Because it says in Isaiah 66, that soon as he came forth, the womb was not closed. And there's going to be a whole lot of sons come right out of that woman. And I could take you into Song of Solomon. I'd love to take you into Song of Solomon. Where all these people in the church, and there's 12 kinds of people, other than the Prince of Peace there, that they just can't believe this little goat herder. And who does she think she is? And finally they say, who is this coming up with the king? It's the goat herder. And then they say, may we go and worship him with you? Isn't this good? Oh. Boy, see, deliverers are going to come up on Mount Zion, it says in Obadiah. That's you, folks. That's you. But you got to become a doctor before you can be a good assistant in delivery. You have to know what to do and what not to do. Some of them are going to try to come feet first. Turn them around. I'll let the pediatrician teach all that. That's about all I know about it. Not much. Verse 4, Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair. Oh, what a funny looking fella. Well, you know, a camel in that day is a servant. And I just tell you that hair speaks of submission and authority. And spiritually speaking, well, let me go on to the locust and then I'll touch the hair. Hair, it has to do with authority. And a leather girdle, it's the covering, the girdle. You know what the girdle is? It says, I think it's in Peter, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins. The problem is in the mind. Everything wrong with the church is in the mind. It's in the soul. It's in the flesh. And if we can ever get the mind to agree with the spirit, why Adam was expelled from the garden. That's why the second Adam's going back into the garden and expelling the serpent. You're the garden. A garden is my sister, my spouse, and it's an enclosed garden in the Song of Solomon. You're a garden. You're the garden. You're the river. Now, you're not there alone. If he's not there, you're not a garden, okay? And it says here, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Well, a good natural mind teacher would tell you that this dummy ate locusts and wild honey. And I believe he did. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. You know that's what his meat was here? His meat was locusts. Locust speaks of judgment. In Revelation, there's some locusts going to come up out of the earth. The problem with locusts is when there's a whole swarm of them, whatever they are, I don't know whether they're swarms or not, but when there's a whole bunch of locusts, they sound just like rain. And if you can't discern between rain and locusts, you're in trouble. And the church is in trouble. They can't tell a locust from the rain. Spiritual. You understand? I'm talking spiritual. You got to think spiritual. And wild honey. You all know, we go into Psalms. Honey speaks of the Word of God. And how? See, they thought John was a wild man. How many of you know there are people that think I'm a wild man for what I teach? And they were baptized. Verse 6. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. My folks even think I'm wild. I mean, not my mother and father, but they're not here, they might. But my brothers and sisters think I'm just way out. And they prayed for me all their life that I'd find the Lord. And I found the Lord. And it's okay for me to come and visit him, but boy, don't open your mouth. And that's impossible. And they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. The Jordan speaks of death. Maybe you know you got to cross over Jordan to get into the kingdom. I'm going to show you that. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm just going to start with verse 9 very quickly. God, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The old covenant is a fading glory, and it's going to go away in the new covenant. How many of you know the new covenant says the law of the spirit of life in Christ, boy, that feels better, of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, there is always a law working within you. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And this is a picture of the baptism of fire in the most holy place. You know there's three baptisms. A baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there's a baptism of fire. John said, I baptize you with water, but one comes after me that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Listen, if you're not baptized with fire, you can't go into the holy place. Because there's fire in there, and if you're not fire, you'll be burnt up. Only thing that can go in there is fire. I mean, a fire is light. Okay? How many of you know your inheritance, Colossians says, chapter 2 says, your inheritance is in light. You become light. He is light, right? I mean, he's your inheritance. If you're going to the top of the mountain, That's why the Levites had no land, no inheritance. God said, I am your inheritance. And God is your inheritance in God's life. In the year, 6-1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, something's got to die before you can see God high and lifted up. But now look what happened here. In the year that King, and this is the old carnal man. How many of you know the carnal man is on the throne of all of us to a certain extent? In Romans chapter 1, it says, make your body a living sacrifice. Doesn't mean go kill yourself in the natural. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. And the word seraphim means to be fire. How many of you know you're going to be fire? Each one, and it goes on to describe them. And it says they fly. That word fly in verse 2 means to shine forth. They shine forth. Looks like they're flying. They are flying. Light flies, okay? And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. It's the glory of the Lord. Listen to what, only when you allow the old man to die will you really see yourself as you really are. Because right now, God can't come forth because of the carnal man that's seated on the throne in all of us. But when that happens, you say, woe is me. But don't get too comfortable. Because he also turned to the others and said, and woe is you. Let me read that. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. How many of you know our lips are unclean? Everything that is was spoken into existence by the Word. Everything is held, and I believe Brother Glenn said this, somebody did. Everything that is now held in place by the Word. How many of you want the power of God? Let me give a scripture. Have I got a scripture? I set you up. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And it goes on to say, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And what that means is to all you religious folks and all of you with a natural mind that think you know it all. That's what that means. So you want the power, you've got to get the gospel. You are today, why I told you to speak forth what you want. You are today what was spoken over you yesterday. You'll be tomorrow what you speak today. Boy, that's powerful. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. Let there not be many teachers among you. And I take that very seriously. It's an awesome thing to speak the oracles of God to a people, because that makes me accountable to those I speak to. I'm accountable for you. I'm going to account to every word I speak to you before God. And then it goes on in verse 5, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Hand speaks of the ministry of God, the fivefold ministry. I'm giving you a coal today. I'd like to touch it to your lips. You choose whether I can or whether I can't. It's up to you. He had a live coal in his hand. How many know this is a living word? Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But you choose whether you eat them or whether you don't. In his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and you can find the altar in Hebrews, and it says in there that we have an altar that others can't eat from. And it's Jesus Christ. The only altar you can eat from. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I told the Lord I'd go anywhere at any time that was feasibly possible for me to go to speak the word. Verse 7, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, how do you like to hear this coming from the pulpit in one of these big churches? Oh, Lord. Oh, generation of vipers, you snakes. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know, he wouldn't baptize them. He said, Go forth and bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Fruit. You don't baptize people unless you see fruit. Fruit. And we're sitting at, listen, I just love you folks because we sit at these tables and have these meals and I just get to preach all the time because they ask questions and I love it because you're so hungry. You know, God said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be. It's a promise to you. I don't care if you're in the boonies. You're going to get filled. Even if he has to fill you personally. Fruit. You're a tree. How many of you know you're a tree? Right? We sing that song. What is that song? The planting of the Lord. Right? And there are a lot of trees that have been planted. How many of you know that God is looking for a fruit to come forth from the tree? Now, threefold things. Always, and you can see this in the candlestick too if you ever study the tabernacle and all the instruments within the tabernacle of Moses. It all speaks toward the spiritual temple. First, there is the bud that comes on the tree. And then the bud turns into a flower. In Song of Solomon, he went down to pick flowers in his garden. He loves to pick flowers in his garden. He just picks you up and blows on you and smells you and you smell so good. You're a sweet savor. You're an offering, right? But then after the flower comes the fruit. And so it's a process. And he's looking for fruit. Now, he told the scribes and Pharisees, I'm taking the kingdom from you and I'm giving, y'all know that, right? And I'm giving it to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. Now we're going to see in here in just a minute where the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. Well, let's go on. Let's see if we can get there. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Now, how many of you know that Abram was not a Jew? Genesis 14, verse 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the who? The Hebrew. Now, the reason he's Hebrew is he's from Eber. And Eber means the other side of the mountain. He came from the other side of the mountain. Well, you know, God will use anyone that will believe. We're going to see that right here. Verse 9, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones. Now, Abraham was and is a spiritual Jew. Don't get me wrong. Is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees as plural. Many trees. Are you with me? I went back to Matthew. Did I tell you? Come back with Matthew with me. See, pretty soon, we're all going to get in the Spirit. And wherever I go, just the Spirit is going to say, see. Now, do you all believe that? That's true. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We know that there have been times past, and Brother Glenn probably could tell you more about this than me, where they'd have meetings, and they wouldn't tell anybody where the meetings were. And you show up for the meeting because the Spirit told you to go, be thousands of people. Mm-hmm. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to get dark. Oh, not going to go there. You know there's silence? I'm going there. You know there's silence in heaven for a half an hour? You ever wonder about that? The axe is laid to the... You know what happens to a tree when you lay an axe to the root? The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And then God planted his own tree, his son. And that's the only seed by which you can find the kingdom of God. Your genealogy makes no difference to God. Your circumcision makes no difference to God unless it has a heart. You're the Israel of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, a new creature is the Israel of God. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now let me just show you this fire. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5, and I'm just going to read it and let you write it down for reference so you can look it up and study it. And you need to study more than just Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, that's of the army, okay, hosts. Because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. If you built your house out of wood, hay, or stubble, you're going to be devoured. Now turn with me to, I want to go quickly, to 1 Corinthians, I think. But in chapter 3, and I want to go way down, verse 9, to build the house. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? Building. You're God's building. Keep your finger there. I'm coming right back. Go to me, in Ephesians. Well, verse 18. This is talking about two becoming the one new man. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The problem in the church is apostles and prophets. They're not received. How many of you know that? Okay. How are you going to be built upon the foundations if you don't have apostles and prophets? We'll look at that. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The whole purpose of what we're doing is to build a holy place for God to come and dwell. God will not come into a temple that is corrupted. How many of you know our temple is corrupted? And we've got to cleanse it out. Say again. Tribulation is good. It is. How many of you know this is... You have tribulation to build this thing. I had tribulation getting it all out. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now it says, therefore, to count the cost before you build. Because you don't want to start a building and then leave it half built. It would be better had you never started. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. How many of you know what fire does to wood, hay, and stubble? Now, I want to look at the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Turn with me to Peter, and I don't know which one. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to go to verse 4. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and that's a new body. How many of you know your body that's reserved in heaven is a new body? You know what kind of body you're going to get? Huh? Incorrupt. Keep your finger right there. Hold it. Keep your finger right there. Just flip over just a few pages to 1 Corinthians 15. How many know every man is going to get this in his own order? Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And you can put your own punctuation in there because the translators are the one that put it in there. Okay? Now, I want to go down to verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And what he's saying is, I speak this to your nakedness, because shame is nakedness. And if you're ashamed, you're naked. And you don't have on a garment. And it has to do with buying and selling. It has to do with the mark of the beast, and I don't have time to go into it. But Jesus said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. And then in John, he said, if I had not gone and spoken to them, they would have had a covering for their sin. And your cloak is ignorance of the Word of God. And you're to sell that ignorance, and you're to buy a sword. And if you do that, you won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. You'll have the name of Christ in your forehead. And that's much better than worrying about the mark of the beast. Okay. That's free. But let me just finish this up real quick. Boy, that clock is just, somebody's turning it by hand. Verse 35, some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. If you know, you're going to have one death of one kind or another. A death, you're either going to die to self, and if you don't die to self, you're going to die a natural death. Now, every time I start talking about never dying, people run. So I'm just going to read the Bible. And if you want to run from the Bible, run. Okay? And Paul's saying this out of the Living Bible. Amplified Bible and Vine's Expository Dictionary. And I'm in Philippians chapter 3. I want to back up. Verse 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person, more strongly and more clearly. Huh? That's what we need to do, right? And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says, we'll not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now, that's straight from Paul. That's the Holy Bible, Paul's, right? There are three resurrections. That's why nobody can agree on them. There's, in a harvest, you know, see, all resurrection is the harvest of the earth. See, can we just get simple and not, you know, I don't have a whole lot of intelligence, so that's why this stuff is easier for me. If your head gets plugged up with all kinds of stuff, sometimes it gets hard. But there is a first fruits harvest in the land. Then there is, and I can show you this in Revelation 12, where the man-child is birthed. And the man-child is caught up to God and his throne. And that's the out resurrection that Paul talks about. It's the first fruits resurrection. And then the woman is fled into the wilderness where they, the man-child, feed her for about 3.5 years. About time enough to minister to them. That's how long Jesus ministered. That shouldn't take us any longer than that, right? I don't know whether it's 3.5 years or what it is. Don't matter. But that the whole body then, the woman, the church, is going to be resurrected. That's the harvest of the earth. And because of the man-child, the devil cannot get the woman. And it's in Revelation 12. So he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now that's an awesome place to be as the remnant of her seed. And that's the remnant is not the first fruit. The remnant is what's left over. But there will be some of those that are saved. And that's the remnant harvest. Now, does that make sense to you? I don't know whether it does or not. Okay. Let's look at this. Peter, and then I'm going to quit. It's 1 o'clock. Oh, sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians, where was I? 10? 15? Yeah, 15. Okay, let's go on and finish that up. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Verse 36. Then verse 37. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain it may have chance of wheat or of some other grain. Not just going to be wheat. Wheat is a type of first fruits. But there will be other grain, which means there's other resurrections. Okay, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. What kind of a body are you going to have? Exactly the kind you've worked for and deserve. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty plain. You deserve it. That you work for. It's the body. You're going to be given a body as you have pleased God. How do you please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you must please him by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not into the word, you're not pleasing him. And I don't mean just reading the word. I mean the word becoming you. Because he's looking for a people that he's going to open in heaven. And when the books are open, you're going to be read of all men in the earth. I can't wait to let everybody. There's some people I really want to read me. Now, God will change my attitude before he allows them to read me. I just want my brother in the flesh to read me. You know why? Because he don't receive me. He's older and he's harder headed. I told him that. We still love each other. Okay, let's... Oh, Lord. Peter, three things. Let me just tell you. That'll be quicker. You're going to build this house out of gold, silver, and precious stones. Peter says, your faith is as gold tried in the fire. And gold in the scripture points to the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, you are partakers of his divine nature by receiving the promises. So how do you get the gold to build the house? By word, the word. Listen, everything comes by the word. Everything comes by the word. The word, the word, the word. Silver. Okay, here it is. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. Guess what it is? The word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, let me just explain that by the Spirit. You're the earth, the furnace of the earth. And you've got to be purified seven times. Seven is the number of spiritual perfection. Had to dip in the Jordan seven times. Right? Seven. Spiritual perfection. So you got to build this house out of the Word. And then the next thing is precious stones. That's in Proverbs. I'll just give you the number so you can... 17:8. It says, gifts are as precious stones. So you got to build your house out of the gifts. Now, let me tell you what the gifts are. God gave gifts to man. He gave two. He gave his Son, and he gave his Spirit. And if you don't receive both, you'll never complete your house. I'm sorry. That's truth. And if that hurts you, I'm sorry. Get over your hurt and get the gift, and you won't be hurting. Jesus, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men for the perfecting of the church. And the reason the church is to be perfected is so they can do the work of the ministry. And that's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor, and the teacher. And I bless Brother Glenn for them allowing to come into his pulpit and minister. And you're blessed by that. You're blessed by that. Most churches... I could not go in and minister from the pulpit. For one thing, the pastors are so insecure that they don't want anyone in. They're worried about numbers and money. And then they're are the gifts of the Spirit. And there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And without the in the candlestick in the tabernacle of Moses, on one side there were 9 lights, and on the other side there were 9 lights. And there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And without the 9 gifts of the Spirit, you can't have the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So you got to receive the gifts to build the house. Now, I just want to finish here in 1 Corinthians 3, because I just show you that the house, the man's not going to be destroyed. So if you've got relatives that haven't built their house, tell them to build their house. But verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The day of the Lord is going to be revealed by fire. And the fire is going to be a prophetic word out of the mouth of his minister. Okay? Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Some of your works are being tried here this morning. I can tell that by the Spirit. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. A reward. You know, God is a God of rewards. He's a God of rewards. Oh, God gives everybody the same measure. No, he doesn't. God makes available the fullness of Christ to everybody. And he prepares the table, and you come and eat. And you eat what you want. It's a smorgasbord. You don't have to eat everything that's spoken here today. But you can. It's up to you. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Why? Because he's got the seed. See, the new birth. Now listen. There's a misconception in the church that you enter the kingdom of God by death. Let me tell you, you enter the kingdom of God by birth, not by death. Death is an enemy. And until you understand that, you eat of death. I don't like death. I don't even like to talk about death. I just encourage you all to build your house. I'm a retired military, but after I got out, I built houses for a while. And in every house, there normally are steps. And to build a step, you have to have a riser to get you up a little higher. Spiritually, a riser is revelation knowledge. But after you have the riser, you have the tread. And every riser must be tread upon. And it's step. Isaiah says line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You don't build a house overnight. But you have a riser that's getting heavenly. And then everything you put your foot to is yours, you tread it. And then God will give you another riser. I encourage you. I encourage you. This was not a word of condemnation. It's a word of education and revelation to many of you. Okay? Father, I just thank you for this people. Father, they've been so patient and so kind. And Father, there are so many hungry hearts here. And Father, I just thank you that they'll be filled. And Father, that they will become your glory. And Father, they'll inherit the earth. And Father, you promised to give us the heathen for our inheritance. And Father, we accept that awesome challenge and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for your watch, care, and protection over all who are traveling and those who travel in the next day or two. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing to go with them and the joy of the Lord to be their portion as they praise and rejoice in you. Now, Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared, they get health to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you till we meet you again. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.